story so far. The Five Squad, Chris, Susan, Ziggy, Kento, and their newest addition, Karen, had spent the day with Gramps, an old man who had been a missionary in his younger years. Gramps had given Five Squad a box with 20 ancient coins. The five returned the next day to visit Gramps, but found an empty house. A neighbor told them that Gramps had died in the night. Sadly, they returned to their clubhouse, the shack. When giving the coins to the kids, Gramps described them as very old and very valuable. However, when they went to get them valuated, the brusque owner of Coin World told them that they were worthless. The five set off back to their homes. They hadn't noticed a figure following them. But Susan felt something wasn't right. That evening at the clubhouse, after everyone had left, Chris shut the clubhouse door and locked it. The wind bustled, sending the autumn leaves hurtling through the air. Chris walked the path quickly, running from the chill in the night breeze. He had not seen the shadow that stood nearby, nor the curl of smoke that rose from the cigarette held in the man's fingers. When Chris had entered the house, the man removed a cell phone from its coat pocket.
What next?
So, did you find the place?
A pathetic hut. Do you want me to do anything?
Listen carefully. I'm not going to repeat myself. There was a small wooden box in the boy's backpack with 20 coins inside of it. Get it for me. And don't mess up, or I'll have you for breakfast.
Consider it done.
They're gone!
Are you sure you put them in there?
Of course I'm sure.
Where could they have gone?
I don't know. I put them here after you guys left. And I locked the... Oh, no!
What?
Look at this! I didn't realize it before. It's been opened! I don't even have the keys with me. They're in my bedroom, but I know I locked this last night.
It's broken. Look, here. Someone forced it. The keyhole all scratched, and it doesn't close.
Isn't that the new lock we just bought?
Yes, and it was working just fine last night. Now the coins are missing. What are we gonna do?
I was hoping something like this wouldn't happen after yesterday.
What do you mean?
I should have told you then, instead of thinking you'd laugh or...
Tell us what, Susan?
Oh... Before we went into that shop, Coin World, I had this feeling that something wasn't right. Then just as we were standing outside the shop, I remembered what we'd forgotten.
That when you told us to wait, or something.
Yes, I remembered we hadn't prayed. Something Gramps had told us to do before we began anything. Remember?
I didn't even think of it.
Me neither.
But that's not all. Remember, Karen, you had to call me several times before I answered when we were on the bus. Well, again, something didn't feel right. I didn't like that man at the shop, and I was suddenly missing Gramps. But when you guys went back to the shack and I started on my way home, something whispered for me to turn around. Finally, I did, and I saw this man behind you. I thought he was following you, so I ran to my bedroom to get a better look. But then he suddenly turned down the other road, so I figured I was just imagining things.
But that road has a pathway that leads right back to the road we were walking down, just 10 paces further.
Did the man see you, Susan?
I thought he did, which is why I quickly ran to my house.
I wonder who he was and if maybe he took the coins.
Wait, there was something else. Just before I fell asleep, I was reminded of the verse that Gramps always said, "All things work together for good." I went to sleep right after that, but I felt so much better. I was worried before that something was going to happen.
I don't know what good can come out of this.
We should pray, like Gramps told us to do when we don't know what to do next.
When they had finished praying, no one spoke. They just sat, thinking about the whole scenario that had taken place. But something was different. They were doing the right thing by praying, and it felt good.
Every time I think about the coins, I'm always reminded of that man's face at the shop. He really wasn't a nice guy.
I wonder, No one else knew about the coins. Did you guys tell anyone?
Mm-mm, no.
So then why would anyone break into a kid's clubhouse? Huh?
Isn't it strange how that Mr. Manchester said the coins were not valuable, but Gramps had told us the exact opposite? If only we had some way to know.
They have old book about old coin in library. We could always go see if they have them in there.
Yeah, let's do that.
Wait, we'd better pray first.
I feel so much better doing it this way.
Me too.
They all set off for the nearby library.
I found it. It's a book about ancient coins.
Are our coins in there?
Shh, you'll never believe it. Doesn't this coin look familiar? Just like that one we had, a Roman coin. It says that this one coin alone is worth $100,000.
$100,000?
That's if they're real. If the shop owner was right about them being fakes, then they're not worth anything.
But then why would they disappear?
I don't know. I'm just presenting the other side.
Susan checked the book out, and they all went back to the shack where they could talk above a whisper.
Let's just say that Mr. Manchester stole them, or had someone steal them from us. How would we get them back?
We could call the police and tell them our coins got stolen and who we think did it.
The police?
It was just a thought.
Well, maybe. If we had something more to go on.
But I don't think the police will believe our story. We don't even have proof that we own the coin.
People, look at this.
What's that?
It's an envelope I found in the back of the angel painting. I was just adjusting the string to hang it, and I saw a corner of this envelope sticking out.
What's in it?
Some photo and a receipt. It says, an official appraiser of the coin. And there are photographs too.
I guess this proves they weren't fakes, like Mr. Manchester said they were.
But where are the coins now?
Maybe we should go back to Coin World and check the place out.
It won't be that easy. You can't go in there and say we think he stole our coin. It doesn't work like that.
I know. But I have this feeling that Mr. Manchester has something to do with this.
We could always just go that way.
And so they set off once again in the direction of Coin World.
What brings you lot back in here? Did you decide that the 20 bucks was tempting for those worthless coins?
Actually, sir, those worthless coins, as you call them, went missing. Someone's taken them.
Oh, what a tragedy. You actually believe that someone would go to all the trouble of stealing your metal collection? That's a good one. It's the best one I've heard all day.
We don't find it so funny, mister. Those coins were not worthless like you said they were, and we have proof of that.
Proof? I'd like to see that.
I don't think so. We just came here to find out if you've seen them, seeing that you're the only other person outside of our group who knows about the coins.
I beg your pardon? Are you accusing me of having something to do with your missing coins? That's not a very nice thing to do. But I understand how terribly traumatic this must be for you. Unfortunately, I'm not able to be much of a help to you, seeing as I've not seen your coins since you left my shop yesterday.
Is that really the truth? You told us the coins were worth nothing, when actually they're very valuable. How do we know you're not lying now?
Don't get angry. It's not going to help anything.
Disrespectful children annoy me. You asked me a question, now off with you. I don't have time for your offensive accusations. Now get out of my shop and don't come back, ever. Do you understand?
They hurried from the shop and down the street, not looking back.
Guy, I'm sorry for getting all upset like that in the shop. I don't like that guy at all. And if you ask me, he's probably the one who took the coin.
So what are we gonna do now?
Hey! I never saw this before. There's a note from Gramps in here.
What's it say? Read it, will you?
Okay. To the 5 Squad, even if it looks like you have lost everything, there is always a way to get it back. It is never too late to do the right thing. The answer is just a phone call away. Jeremiah 33:3. Love, your Gramps.
That's pretty cryptic. But it's almost like he knew we were going to lose the coins.
What's that part about the telephone?
Oh yeah, I remember that verse. That's right. He said that God's telephone number is Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not.
We sure didn't pray at the beginning. We just acted on impulse.
I guess we can ask now. Maybe he still has something to say. Let's try it.
The response was unanimous, and after a short prayer, everyone got quiet, waiting for the Lord to show them what to do next.
I got this feeling that we should go back to the shop and look in the back, and that we'll find something that will help us to get the coins back. But also that we need to be careful, because we'll be on dangerous territory, especially after our last meeting with Skeets.
I was reminded of this Bible story I read one time. I just don't see how it goes with things now.
Tell us!
Okay, like I said, I'm not sure what it means, but I just remember it so clearly.
What was it?
It's when Jesus said that some of his enemies were like white tombs, looking real beautiful on the outside, but inside were full of dead man's bones and yucky stuff like that.
Whoa, that is pretty different. I wonder what it could mean.
If it's of any help, the outside of the cornwall shop is painted white.
And the owner wasn't honest. He gave me the creeps.
Guys, if we found out he's doing something illegal, we might be able to get the police in there to arrest him. Then we could get our coin back.
It's not that simple.
I wonder what Gramps would have done in a situation like this.
Wait, just because things have gone wrong doesn't mean there's no way to make them right. Let's just each pray and think a little.
I have a real strong feeling that we need to go back to the shop. I know it sounds risky, but if we set up precautions, like just two of us go, and the others keep watch from a distance.
I was thinking the same thing, and that voice that told me to turn around last night said to pray and go.
Let's pray then.
After the prayer, they agreed that Chris and Susan should go first, being the oldest of the group. The other three would stay not far behind. A man wearing sunglasses and a long, black overcoat emerged from the car. He handed a large package to another man who had come from the back entrance of Coin World.
It's him!
Him who?
That's the same guy I saw that followed us the night before.
This could be interesting.
I'll write down the license number.
Susan, let's wait until he's gone inside. Then we can look in the trash can by the shop and see if there's anything interesting left in there.
Do you think that's smart?
Don't worry. We'll be careful, right?
If you think so.
Shh, quiet.
A ton of papers is all I'm finding. Most of them are ripped and I can't read them.
Whoa, check this, Susan. Something about horse gambling and something about Columbia. Look. This one is for a money deposit in a bank in the Cayman Islands.
I wonder what this all means.
Well, it's probably something illegal.
Let's get out of here! Pronto!
What are you kids doing snooping around here?
We were just trying to find cool stuff in your, garbage can?
Really? And did you find anything you were looking for?
Not really. I guess there's no cool garbage here, so, we'll just be leaving and...
Take them to the boss.
The reluctant pair were dragged into the back room and plunked onto two chairs that were back to back. while the huge man stood menacingly nearby to make sure they didn't get up.
Oh, boss, I got something for you. I just caught these kids snooping around our bed. Said they were looking for cool stuff.
Cool stuff, eh? Wait a minute. You're the kids with those coins, aren't you? I distinctly recollect telling you not to come back to my shop, did I not?
You took them! We want them back!
So sorry, children. Things don't work like that in this world. I must thank you, though, for helping to make me disgustingly rich.
You sold them?
Not yet, but we're gonna sell them tomorrow night. So there!
Put a sock in it, Clive. Don't tell them nothing. It ain't their business. So, you think you're gonna find something in the trash, huh? Let's see about that. Search them.
Let's see now. There's like receipts and banking bits of pieces and a few other pieces of kid junk. Oh, and she's got a license number scribbled on her hand.
Clive, don't tell me you dumped those papers in the rubbish bin out back. Don't you ever learn, you great, blundering, moronic, dimwit. But on the other hand, that wasn't very smart of you either, was it, children? Sticking your nose in other people's business. Didn't your parents ever teach you anything? Silly kids, thinking you found something on me. Who's ever gonna know now? Clive, take our little friends downstairs to the tunnel.
Clive grabbed Chris and Susan roughly by the arms, opened a door in the room, and as they walked down the stairs, he would occasionally shove them to get them moving faster. At the bottom of the stairs, he pressed a button on the wall, which slid open to reveal a dark tunnel with doors leading to many rooms on both sides. The lights flickered on, and Clive pushed the kids further down the tunnel. Finally, he opened another door and threw them inside. There was a foul smell in the air, and Susan and Chris started coughing immediately.
We're gonna keep you here for a while till we figure out what to do with you.
How long will that take?
That's difficult to say. We never did figure out what to do with our last guests.
Chris and Susan were plunged into absolute darkness. In the darkness, Chris and Susan prayed that they would live through this ordeal. Ziggy, Karen, and Kento watched Susan and Chris being dragged off by a huge man.
They've been caught.
What can we do? We've got to think of something fast.
But what?
I don't know. Maybe it's time to get on the phone again.
Right. Let's do it.
They prayed, got quiet, and waited for direction.
Maybe the trouble going to help us catch these crooks and get our coin back somehow.
That would be nice. Let's hurry.
I agree.
I saw a police station a couple streets down.
You know, I'm starting to like this stopping here from God thing. It's pretty cool.
Kento, Ziggy, and Karen boldly stepped up to the police desk, with Frisky following close behind.
No dogs allowed.
But where do we put him?
You can just tie him outside. We just can't have dogs at the station. So, what do you kids want?
Two of our friends are in super big trouble because they were captured by a mean man at Coin World who stole our ancient coins from us. They need rescuing right away. We've got to get there quick before something bad happens to them and...
Friends? Which friends? Just the facts, kids, just the facts. You know, names, ages, addresses, boring stuff like that. See if you can get a search warrant on this place. What's it called?
Coin World. That's spelled C-O-I-N.
Thanks. That name seems to ring a bell. Check up on it, will you?
Yes, sir.
Ziggy, Karen, and Kento arrived at Coin World with three police officers to see if they could find Susan and Chris. A hastily written sign on the front door read, "Closed. On vacation."
We saw them last around the back of the shop, before the guy dragged them in.
Frisky was already running to the back, barking all the way. He jumped on the door, scratching frantically. The others reached the door a few moments later. The door was closed as well. The trash cans were overturned and garbage spilt from them.
Doesn't look like there's much going on here.
Check this out.
That's Chris's wallet. Look at this ID card. Chris Fulton. Just like we said.
See if anyone's inside. But let's get the kids back to the car where Warren can keep an eye on them. We don't want any unnecessary trouble.
Yes, sir. This is the police. Open the door. Open up or we'll have to break it down. We know you're in there.
Will they really break down the door?
Afternoon, Constable. What can I do you for?
We're looking for these two missing persons, a boy named Chris Fulton and a girl named Susan Grimbaldi. They're about 12 years old. Have you seen them? Do you recognize them from this photo?
Nope, never seen them before.
We received a report that they were seen being hauled off through this back entrance. Do you know anything about that?
Can't say that I do.
Is that the case? Funny, because I have three witnesses who follow the two missing children here.
Oh, those children. Oh, now I come to think of it, yes.
So you have seen them before?
They came in with some worthless coins the other day, and then again today they came back with some wild accusation that their coins had gone missing. Terribly rude children, if you ask me. I sent them away and asked them not to return. Is that a crime?
Our friends.
Do you mind if we look around?
Why, of course not, Constable. I have nothing to hide.
Karen, Ziggy, and Kento waited for close to an hour until the police finally returned.
Sir, it looks clean. We've searched everywhere.
There must be some mistake.
Back, Frisky. What are you doing?
Kento held the dog back the best he could, but finally Frisky bowled him over and began to dash madly towards the open back door of the shop. Frisky ran as fast as he could into the store.
Maybe he's looking for Susan and Chris.
Let's go, follow that dog.
When everyone caught up with Frisky, they saw he was in front of a section of the wall where there was a bookcase and was barking furiously.
Get away, you stupid mutt!
What's behind this bookshelf?
A wall, and then cement, and then some more blooming cement.
Use the crowbar. Aha! A tunnel!
Look at that! Well, I'll be! And all this time here, I never even knew it existed!
The two policemen were so preoccupied with their discovery of the tunnel that they failed to notice that Skeets was slowly making his way to the stairs to escape. Clive stood between Skeets and the police.
This is Lieutenant Gibbs here. Send backup right away!
Frisky was now barking loudly at Skeets Manchester and grabbed a hold of his pant leg. The dog wouldn't let go, no matter how hard Skeets tried to shake him off.
Skeets trying to get away!
At that moment, Clive pulled out a gun and fired at the police. The bullets zinged past them.
Get down!
Quick, boys! Make your getaway! I'll cover you!
Lieutenant! He's getting away!
Skeets had managed to shake the dog off of him and was running up the stairs with Clive close behind. The police tried to follow, but Clive turned every few seconds and shot at them. The lieutenant pulled out his gun and returned fire. A bullet caught Clive in the lower leg, and the big man fell hard. Within seconds, the lieutenant had confiscated Clive's gun and handcuffed him. Officer Hooper ran to catch up with Skeets. He made a flying leap, and they both fell down in a heap on the floor. After a struggle, Hooper got the advantage over Skeets and snapped handcuffs on him, too.
Easy with the cuffs there, Constable. I'll take you to court, I will. I'll sue you for everything you're worth. Stop that. You rambunctious little rapscallions will pay for this. You and that silly little canine mutt of yours. Easy there, Constable. I got my rights, you know, and I know them. Ow! Hey, what about the part about you have the right to remain silent? You haven't told me that yet. When's that coming? I'll be back to get you, I will. Oh, put me down.
Once backup arrived, the two men were taken to the police station. While several of the other police busied themselves by further checking Coin World, Ziggy, Karen, and Kento took off down the tunnel to try to find Chris and Susan. As they followed the tunnel, they called every few feet and listened. Soon, they heard a banging on one door and some muffled yells. Then latched and finally opened the door. Chris and Susan came out into the hallway and blinked as their eyes adjusted to the light.
Are we happy to see you?
So are we.
It's a good thing you came when you did. No telling what they would have done to us.
We'll need to take you down to the police station to get your statements and the full story of what happened from each of you. Then we'll take you home.
After Five Squad had gone through the different questions the police asked of them, Gibbs and Hooper drove them home.
Tomorrow morning, we'll come by to see how you're all doing, and also in case we need any other information that may have slipped our minds today. Could everyone meet at Chris's house at 10:30?
Sure.
Lieutenant, could we ask you a favor?
What's that?
Were the coins found?
We haven't found anything yet, but we're looking.
At exactly 10:29 a.m., Lieutenant Gibbs and Officer Hooper appeared at the front door of Chris's house. After a lengthy interrogation, the police were satisfied with the information they had gathered from the kids, and were going to do a further investigation into Skeets Manchester's affairs. The two got up to leave.
Thank you for your help in breaking this case. We've been after Skeets for some time. We may need you to testify at the court hearing. We'll see.
Sir, did you find the coins yet?
The coins? I almost forgot. We found them. Apparently, you have yourself quite a treasure here. I'd be careful where you put them next.
Thanks, sir.
Now be careful with them. They may not be so easy to get back next time.
Believe me, we will.
I'm amazed at how it all seemed to work out for you kids. You're very lucky children.
Actually, sir, it's only because we prayed when we didn't know what to do that helped us. It's what Gramps, the man who gave us the coins, taught us to do.
Well, then I have to say that you children have a fine treasure in your prayer and in your coins.
The members of Five Squad looked at each other and smiled. It couldn't have turned out better.